The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Stir up our hearts, O Lord, to prepare the way of your only Son. By his coming, nurture our growth as people of repentance and peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated as we listen to the word proclaimed.
A reading from Isaiah. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. On that day the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 72 responsively. Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to the king's son.
That he may rule your people righteously and the poor with justice.
That the mountains may bring prosperity to the people, and the hills in righteousness.
Let him defend the needy among the evil people, rescue the poor, and crush the oppressor.
May he live as long as the sun and moon endure, from one generation to another.
Let him sprinkle down my rain upon the multitude, like showers that water the earth.
In his time may the righteous flourish, and let there be an abundance of peace till the moon shall be no more.
Blessed are you, Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone do wondrous deeds.
And blessed be your glorious name forever, and may all the earth be filled with your glory. Amen. Amen.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son,
and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from Romans. Whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, so that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another, in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may, with one voice, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you, for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the circumcised on behalf of the truth of God, in order that he might confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will confess you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. And again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him. And again Isaiah says, the root of Jesse shall come, the one who rises to rule the Gentiles, in him the Gentiles shall hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Now, John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him, and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham for our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees, and every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
Pretty scary reading, isn't it? John the Baptist is not the sort of guy that would get invited to very many holiday parties. He belongs to that crowd of the great unwashed, unkempt, way too loud. And besides, his favorite foods are not what you want to find on the buffet table. But he was a very famous preacher. In fact, he was the most famous preacher of his generation. People flocked to hear him. They walked for miles to listen to his wild words and then get dipped into that muddy water of the Jordan River as a sign of their repentance. John shouted out warnings. Pay attention. Focus. Don't miss it. Even people who were quite devout before they showed up at the river ended up going home soaking wet. Even people who had no intention of confessing their sins found themselves suddenly with tears in their eyes and repentance in their hearts. They came to mock this wild preacher and ended up getting dunked into the water only to emerge spiritually clean and refreshed. Of course, John didn't get through to everyone. No preacher can claim that. I don't know too many good preachers who haven't had the experience of having someone walk out on their prophetic words. I'll tell you the story about my person walking out when I was preaching. Happened in South Dakota many years ago, and Michael, about 86 or 87 years old, always sat in the last pew, in the last seat, right by the door. And when I stood up and walked to the pulpit, as I was walking to the pulpit, he was walking to the door. He never stayed in church long enough to hear me preach, but he would make a beeline for the door whenever I approached the pulpit. He could not abide the idea of a woman preaching. In the years that I was serving that congregation, Michael and I became very good friends. He didn't miss a Bible study. He didn't miss a class. He didn't miss an opportunity to engage in conversation with me, and was always a great promoter and supporter of me, although every time I stood to preach, he walked out the door. He did not believe that women should preach. Although he loved my Bible study classes, I could teach, but I guess he didn't want me to preach. Well, long story short, Michael died. And in the weeks before his death, we really spent a lot of time together and became even better friends and prayers together. And his family said, "We want you to preach at Michael's funeral." And I said, "Oh, you know, he really didn't like to have women preach. Oh, but he loved you so much. It would just be so appropriate." And his wife then looked me in the eye and said, "And besides, then we'll know if he's really dead. Because if he's not, he'll be up and out of there." That's a true story. But you know, our society is such a consumer society that we have people who choose their preacher and their congregation by what makes them feel good. If you don't like the message, you just take your offering envelope and go to another congregation where you might find a different message. I was thinking a lot this weekend about our Episcopalian brothers and sisters who were meeting in Fresno this weekend and took a vote yesterday, and huge numbers of congregations have decided to leave the denomination, to separate themselves from the rest of the denomination because they don't like the message. They voted not to stay at the table, not to stay in the conversation. I think this is a very sad situation in that church denomination and in our own denomination as well. Our affiliation should not be determined by what makes us feel good, by what makes us comfortable, but our focus should be on the gospel and on what is important, and we should stay at the table and stay in conversation with our brothers and sisters. Sometimes people go to hear these charismatic preachers like John the Baptist with the intention of just poking holes in their message and discounting their teaching. I will admit that there have been occasions in my life that I have done that. Listen to one of those radio preachers or someone on television with the full intention of just mocking them, just making fun of their message. Well, some people came to John the Baptist with that intention as well. They had no desire to be taken in by this fantastic preacher. But John loved seeing these guys come. He really wanted to have, he saved his most fiery language for those religious leaders. "You brood of vipers, you sneaky snakes, someone lit a fire in the forest and all of you just came slithering out. If you think you can just rest on your laurels, well, forget it. Your gold card members only isn't going to cut anything with me. Doesn't mean a thing to me. Your spiritual lineage telling me that you're Abraham's child doesn't mean a thing. If God wanted more children of Abraham, he could take these stones and raise up tribes of children for Abraham. But that's the problem, isn't it? Your stony hearts are already keeping you from a relationship with God. Your stony hearts are going to be the end of you. God doesn't want that. He wants trees that are producing juicy, rich fruit. And you're not producing anything. Someone is coming after me, bigger and more powerful than me, and he has an axe in his hand. In fact, that axe is already laid at the root of the trees that are not producing. Wow. That's pretty fiery talk. I'd be really happy to be the preacher that day rather than the congregation and hearing those words. The religious leaders who were gathered there at the banks of the Jordan River were shaken to their roots. But John's words were not just for the historic remembrance. Those words continue to shake us up today, right here at St. Peter's. This is the second Sunday of Advent, and it's time for us to get things in focus and to pay attention to the right stuff. John's warnings are for us too. Don't let the rush of the Christmas season carry you away or fog your vision. Christmas is a great time for celebrating. And we're really not too happy to have this guy, John the Baptist, come into our celebrating time. You know, he never shows up in any Christmas creche, does he? Even though he's the most important Advent personality, we kind of like to keep him away because his message is right to the core. The season of Advent is a good time for us to focus our attention on our relationships with God and with others. Does anyone have a Christmas card list? Does anyone have a list of people, a shopping list for Christmas? We pay attention to other people at this holy season. But John's message is pay attention to other people. Look at those names on your Christmas card list. Look at those names on your I still need to get a gift for list. And pay attention to the relationship. Don't get so caught up in the society's way to handle those relationships, but pay attention to the relationship itself. A couple years ago in our family, the adults in the family decided not to buy gifts for one another, but rather to make some financial contribution to a cause or a concern that we would hold. So last year, Don and I bought goats for everyone. We used this catalog called the ELCA Good Gifts, and you can make contributions to the World Hunger and Lutheran World Relief and make a difference in the lives of other people by purchasing things like goats and chickens and llamas and a water system or a share in a fabric company or some such thing. Well, you know, my mother has a brain tumor, and she doesn't always isn't always able to follow everything. And so when she got this card, this catalog also has cards. So you send the card. And the one that I sent to my mother is this one that says, I got your goat. And she thought this was a great deal. No one had ever given her a goat before. And she was very proud of that and very happy. And she wanted to know where she was going to keep her goat. And I said, no, Mom, you don't get the goat. We sent it to some poor family who is going to be able to have milk and make cheese and other goats, and you know, this will really give a livelihood to some family. And she said, well, can I go and visit my goat? So I think this year I'm going to give her a watering system. Christmas, this Advent season, is about paying attention to those relationships. not just about giving gifts. That's one way to pay attention to the relationships, is not to let our consumerism, our society, take over and really take all of our attention. One of the best gifts that we can give to others and to God is our attentive presence, our paying attention to the relationship. This gift doesn't cost us money, but it costs us time, and it costs us a willingness to listen. It's a lot easier to write a check than it is to pay attention to someone and to spend time with them. This is John's, I think this is part of John's message to us. Pay attention to what's important. Why are these people's names on your Christmas card list? Why are these people's names on your list of who to buy a gift for? Because you care for them in some way. So let them know of your care. I'm not saying don't give gifts. The children this morning would have been, you know, taken me to task on if I had suggested that. I'm not suggesting that we not give gifts. I'm not suggesting that we don't send Christmas cards. I'm suggesting that we pay attention to why we're doing that. This holiday seasons are a time of great loneliness for many people. The whole world talks about how happy and wonderful everything should be. And when you're not happy and feeling wonderful, you feel really out of sorts with the rest of the world. A visit, a phone call, attentive presence to others is a gift that you're giving to the whole world. It can transform someone from sadness to a sense of worth and dignity. John the Baptist urges us to prepare the way for Christ. Christ, who came in poverty, who came as the Word made flesh, who comes to us in the dailiness of our lives, in the ebb and flow of our relationship. Advent is a time for us to pay attention to the people in our lives, to pay attention to our relationship with God. Our Advent journey becomes a joyful journey when we get things in focus, when we pay attention to what is really important, when we listen to that Word of God that's growing quietly within us, preparing us to bear fruit, that our stony hearts may be turned into living hearts, that our lives might produce the fruit, the luscious, juicy fruit that John the Baptist talks about, producing fruit a hundredfold. So happy Advent, happy focus, happy waiting and watching and preparing the way for the Lord.